This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, will Americans be getting tax reform for Christmas? Well, yesterday it appeared so, but Senator Marco Rubio says he isn't so sure he'll support it. House Freedom Caucus member and Maryland Congressman Andy Harris is here with the latest. And earlier today, a meeting of the Federal Communications Commission was abruptly stopped and the building evacuated. At the time, the commission was preparing to vote on the repeal of the Obama-era net neutrality rules. You see a pattern here of the left. We'll talk about that with Terry Jeffrey of CNSNews.com. I'll also get him to weigh in on speculation that House Speaker Paul Ryan may hang up his gavel after this Congress and what impact that might have on Capitol Hill. That's coming up on today's edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you happen to miss anything on your way home, you can catch it all later right there, archived at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, want to keep up with my thoughts? Well, at T. Perkins. I mentioned we're coming up to the end of the year, and we are midway through our December matching challenge, and we're not where we expected to be financially. I mean, we have had a great year, one of our most successful ever, but this has been a costly year. And there's still much to accomplish in the coming year, and we have a short window. It's critical to end this year strong, and with your help, we can take full advantage of an opportunity we have. We have a generous donor who is going to match everything that is given. And to actually go along with that, today we're going to have a special gift. Any gift that's made of any amount, not only will it be matched, but you'll receive a copy of my latest book, No Fear. So what are you waiting for? Pick up the phone, call 800-225-4008. Not only will your gift be matched, but you'll receive a free copy of my latest book, No Fear. Again, the number 800-225-4008. Well, yesterday at the White House, House and Senate leaders announced the two chambers had reached an agreement on the framework for a compromise tax reform bill. Today, they are working out the details of that framework. In the Senate, key provisions like the Johnson Amendment repeal are being argued before the parliamentarian. With us now is Dr. Andy Harris. He is a physician. He was at Johns Hopkins Hospital as a medical officer in the Naval Reserve, and he represents the 1st Congressional District of Maryland. He serves on the House Committee on Appropriations, the committee that is in charge of the amount of federal dollars that are allocated to various government activities. He is also a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you, Tony.
Well, let me first say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too.
And I assume that, like many members, you're ready to get your work done appropriately and then get back home for Christmas.
Well, you're absolutely right. I certainly want to be back home for Christmas, but we have work to do, and we need to get it done and do the right thing for the American people.
Now, let's talk about the tax reform. What's the latest? I know that yesterday the framework was agreed to, but as they say, the devil is in the details.
Well, there is a framework, and it's pretty detailed. I think that most members are going to be very supportive of it. Neither the House nor the Senate got exactly all they wanted, but that's the way the compromise is supposed to work. And we are paying a lot of attention to the Johnson Amendment. We hope the parliamentarian rules that it can be included, because I think if the parliamentarian rules that way, I think it will be included in this package, repeal of that amendment.
Yeah, earlier today, talking to the vice president's office, I know the vice president told me on Monday, he's repeatedly told me he's working on this, reiterated that on Monday, and his staff working on that. What's the latest? We're hearing Marco Rubio saying that he's a no vote if the child tax credit is not more generous to low-income families.
Well, you know, I hope Senator Rubio is not the skunk at the party on this. We enhance the child tax credit. I know he wants a more generous one, but again, the House position was a lower amount than I think the compromise amount is going to be. So I think that's the way the legislative process works, and I hope he doesn't hold out because of that, because we have so many things that benefit the low and middle income families, but I hope he doesn't hold out for that.
Now, according to what I'm seeing, and I think the language is going to be released, I don't think it's out yet. I think it's coming out tomorrow. Is that right?
Well, it's either tomorrow or at the latest, we'll file the bill Monday. We have to file it Monday in order to vote on it. We hear that it's going to be next Wednesday. I hope we have a little more language Monday. I think, you know, every day as it goes along, we're going to know a little bit more about what the final details are on some of the very specifics of the bill, because this is comprehensive tax reform. As you know, the tax code is very complicated, and reforming it is complicated.
As I understand from the framework of that's there, the top individual tax rate will be set at 37%. That's down from 39.6. Now, in the House, it was proposed. It was 39.6.
Yeah.
So that's going down. That the Obamacare individual mandate to have health insurance is repealed. I understand. So that's a huge win.
That is, and you know, the government should never be able to tell you what product you have to buy, and should never be able to tell a family, you know, what it has to buy. And that's exactly what Obamacare did, and it made insurance unaffordable for millions of families who are really suffering now because they simply can't afford the premiums on the Obamacare exchanges.
Now, we've spoken many times on this program about the Obamacare and the effort to repeal it. How significant of a move will this be? Is this kind of a domino? Will this have a domino effect on Obamacare? Will this ultimately lead to it being totally overhauled?
Absolutely. You know, the linchpin of the Obamacare system was the individual mandate, the fact that it forced every American to buy a government-approved insurance policy that we all warned people was going to be way too expensive. You know, I calculated it today. The president claimed that the families were going to save $2,500 a year when it was done, and there are families of four that actually spend $2,500 more per month on the new Obamacare exchange since it's gotten so expensive.
So this, I mean, we're looking at dealing with tax reform that impacts the bottom line for families. Not only will they'll take more money home, or actually they'll be able to keep more of their own money because it won't be deducted from their checks. But there's also projections. In fact, the Treasury says that the Senate bill, or as it's now being proposed, would boost economic growth enough to increase federal revenues by $300 billion over the next 10 years. So, I mean, this is – we're all concerned – so many are concerned about how it's going to cut revenues to the federal government. This is one of those pro-growth tax cuts where it puts more money into people's hands that then multiplies in the economy. In the end, government receives more revenue.
I agree. I think even that $300 billion over 10 years is a way low projection. I think we've seen tremendous, meteoric growth in GDP since President Trump took office. We're no longer going to be happy with 2% growth in GDP. We're going to exceed 3% this year, I'm pretty confident. Next year, you know, with this tax reform bill, I think we can do even better than that. And as you said, the revenues flow in. When you create more jobs, when Americans earn higher wages, when we attract jobs and businesses back to the United States, we end up in better shape, not worse shape. And the naysayers who say that this is going to add trillions of dollars to our deficit, it's just not true. That's only if you don't believe in American free enterprise and the American economy. But to be honest, Tony, there are many people on the left who just don't agree with American free enterprise and the American economy.
Yeah, they don't trust consumers to make the right decisions with their own money. That's one of the reasons, goes back to the thing we were just talking about with Obamacare. They are mandating people buy this because they won't buy it on their own. Well, of course, when you jack the price up so high, people can't afford it unless you put a gun to their head and make them buy it.
That's right. And, you know, one very worrisome thing is we're hearing now that as part of this year-end deal that there's going to be these cost-sharing subsidies put back in the budget, but they'll go to policies that could even pay for abortion. So, you know, we have to be continually vigilant that that Obamacare, which always tried, there were always efforts under Obamacare to cancel out the Hyde Amendment, to have these policies that cover abortion when the vast majority of Americans don't think public funds should pay for abortion. We just have to be ever vigilant, and even in this case, we have to watch out.
So, Congressman Andy Harris, what else should our listeners be watching for as we come down to the end of the year? Because Congress is going to be working up to Christmas Eve almost. You'll probably be here through the end of next week. What should we be watching out for?
Well, the big thing is we're going to come to a decision to, I believe, fund the military for the rest of the year. These stopgap measures that fund the military for only for 2 weeks or a month, that has to end. We can't let our defense be dealt with that way. The other thing is that there was a lot of, and I'll call it what it is, fake news about the Children's Health Program, Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIPS, not being funded. And it's just not true. Funds have never run out for this program. We're not going to let it run out, and we're going to renew the program for another 5 years as part of this year-end deal. So we're going to get all our work done, and then we're going to go home and have a very Merry Christmas.
Well, that sounds like a good deal, and hopefully with tax cuts in hand, Americans will have a happy and prosperous new year.
Absolutely.
Dr. Andy Harris, as always, great to have you on the program.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Andy. Dr. Andy Harris, Congressman from Maryland's 1st Congressional District. Now, I will just give you a heads up, okay? Next week, and this is we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when they came up with that two-week CR. That was on the 12th that put it to the 22nd. And then they'll have to deal with something else. They're probably going to do a 30-day CR into January. That's a continuing resolution that funds the government, along with a one-year funding bill for the military, as he just pointed out. So they're not funding the military a month at a time, a couple weeks at a time. But here's what you got to watch for. Coming down to that wire with the backdrop of Christmas and everybody wanting to get out of town, that's when bad things happen. And that's why conservatives did not want that short-term continuing resolution to come up to the 22nd, because the leadership knows everybody wants to get out of town. And, they're more likely to make compromises and put stuff in there in order to get some votes from maybe even the Democrats. And that's dangerous from a fiscal standpoint and policy standpoint, too, that can be stuck in there. So make sure you're watching next week, because we may need to get you once again to participate in the process and speak to your members of Congress. Because I do know that we're already working on some things on this continuing resolution as it pertains to some funding with health care that does not currently, as it's working its way through the process, have the Hyde restrictions. That's the prohibition against your tax dollars being used to fund abortion. So anyway, just to give you a heads up, we're going to be watching that. Okay, coming up next, the FCC meeting today, Chairman Ajit Pai leading the effort to overturn Obama-era regulations. The place was evacuated, a threat called in. Are we seeing a pattern here? Terry Jeffrey, CNSNews.com, joins us next to talk about that and rumors that the House Speaker may be hanging up his gavel. We'll talk about that here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
This Christmas season, give with purpose and meaning, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. At Family Research Council, our mission is to promote these three core values in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. We are working to ensure that our religious liberty is defended in the public square, that human life at all stages is protected, and that family values are promoted in our country's public policies. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Give with purpose this Christmas season. Text FRC to 444-999. Again, that is text FRC to 444-999. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC in our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. A candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. A senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discussed the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Merry Christmas and welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Just a reminder, today we have a special offer to go along with our year-end matching challenge. When you make a financial gift to the Family Research Council of any amount, you'll receive a free copy of my latest book, No Fear. A generous supporter has stepped up with a matching grant, so any gift that's given this month via radio will be matched dollar for dollar. To make your call, make your donation, give us a call, 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Well, earlier today, at a meeting of the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, the meeting was abruptly stopped and the building evacuated. At the time, the commission was preparing to vote on the repeal of the Obama-era net neutrality rules. Deceptive names. Do you see a pattern here from the left? And now they were protesting outside. They've made a big deal out of this, really targeting the chairman, Ajit Pai, threats and everything else. We're going to talk about that. And House Speaker Paul Ryan may hang up his gavel after this Congress. That's the rumor. And I've heard that, not just read it, I've heard it. What impact might that have on Congress? Here to talk about it is Terry Jeffrey of CNSNews.com. Terry, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Why is the net neutrality such a big deal to the left?
Well, we know they don't, or they're not big fans of freedom of speech and free expression, and I think you have to worry about that. I can't pretend to be an expert on internet regulation, but I am someone who my life is on the internet. I'm an internet journalist essentially. I do massive amounts of research on the internet. I've found, especially in recent years, that the things you can do and the information you can pull up online are unbelievable. For example, books that have been out of print for 100 years that have to go down to the Library of Congress or travel to some university, maybe even go overseas to find, are now loaded up on the internet, and you can pull down a PDF and read them without going anywhere without paying anybody a penny. So I think we don't want to lose that in this incredible venue for people exchanging information and ideas. And I think we need to be very, very, very dubious of what the left wants to do in terms of federal regulation of what we can do online and what corporations trying to make a profit can try and do online.
Terry, do we see a pattern here emerging with the left as it pertains to previous policies and regulations put in by the Obama administration, and now you see the Trump administration replacing some of these? I mean, there is a almost a sense of entitlement in that when these things are changed, they're irate. I mean, they're protesting outside, the threats called in to – I mean, is do we see a new left that is just – almost unhinged?
I think we do see new radical tactics, but I think the basic trajectory is the same. They want to increase government power over people, including our right to free speech and expression. I think they're getting a little more radical and a little bit more violent sometimes in the way they express themselves and deal with it. But that's really, I mean, at the core of this is a struggle between people who want a limited government, they want individual freedom, and people who want the government to guide our lives and control everything we do, including the way we speak. I mean, you see in other venues, for example, you know, and this may seem an odd comparison, but I think it's a real one, that we're moving, Tony, towards automated cars, for example. And in the regulatory world, there's a debate over how they're going to regulate these automated vehicles. But you can imagine the control over our lives the government would have if they could remotely control our vehicles, which they may, in fact, someday be able to do. And I think we have to think about that. Well, what they're talking about with regulation of the internet is remotely control what we can read and what we can see in our own homes, on our own computers, through a service that we pay our own money for.
I'm thinking through this regulation of self-driving cars. I mean, what agency would you want in charge of that? Because I'm thinking like the post office, we'd end up at the wrong location and it would take us forever to get there. You know, this that whole idea of the government having more control over aspects of our lives to me is a frightening thought.
It is frightening. Actually, the agency is the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, NHTSA, as it's called, and they started under Obama issuing regulations about what self-driving cars are going to be like. And, you know, that's something people need to keep an eye out for because it doesn't get discussed a lot, but it's going to happen. Down the road, at some point, automobiles are going to be automated, and someone is going to be in control of the infrastructure that directs how those automobiles move. I mean, to give you a scenario, imagine that the government is doing something outrageous, like legalizing the killing of unborn babies. And a lot of people want to go down to the Washington Mall one day a year and make it known that they're sticking up for the right to life. But the only way they can get through to that mall is by getting on a transportation system that's controlled by the government. We know right now in the D.C. area that they're having these unbelievable tolls on I-66, which is one of the interstates, one of the few interstates leading right into Washington, D.C. from suburban Virginia. And what they've done, as you know, Tony, is put these incredible tolls on that road with the aim of trying to force people onto the public transit system, which they control. So now they're trying to control whether you can drive on the highway or get onto one of their metro trains. And eventually the automated cars are going to be put into the mix of that. And it's like the internet and government control of the internet. It's something people really have to look at and be dubious about.
Well, I think the internet, I'm actually probably more concerned about the internet than the self-driving cars, because some drivers out there don't need to be driving anyway. But the internet has become a place of public discussion. And as you said, when you don't have free access to information or the ability to put information out there, that's very, very disturbing. Hey, Terry, we're up against a break. Can you stick around for a couple of minutes? Because I want to ask you about this latest news that Speaker Paul Ryan may hang up his gavel after this Congress, and I want to see what impact that might have on Capitol Hill. Terry Jeffrey, my guest, he's going to stick around. I hope you will as well. So don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch. Check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you'd like to partner with us, you can do that during the break. Call 800-225-4008. Got folks standing by. Any gift, we'll get a free copy of my book, No Fear. All right, we're coming back on the other side of this break. Don't go away.
Spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day by working to advance family values in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. The internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. Learn more at frc.org/internships.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Merry Christmas. You're listening to Washington Watch, and I'm your jovial host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Hey, as I mentioned before the break, a free gift for you today with any financial contribution to partner with FRC to make sure this program continues. You'll receive a copy of my latest book, No Fear, and it'll be matched by a generous donor. So give us a call, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008, or go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, my guest, Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief of CNSNews.com. By the way, let me just mention, we were talking about the net neutrality rules. The FCC did vote to overturn those 3-2. So those another example. In fact, the president today making comments on all of the regulations that his administration has done away with. He says they have curtailed some 1,500 planned regulations, including the war on coal that was put in place by the previous administration. He said that's going to save trillions of dollars to the American people. So good news. Terry, kind of words kind of buzzing on the Hill, and now it's appeared in print, that House Speaker Paul Ryan may say enough after this Congress and go back to Wisconsin. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, and I wouldn't blame him. I think being Speaker of the House at this point is a pretty tough job. And I think when when John Boehner left and Paul Ryan went in there, I think it was pretty obvious that Paul Ryan wasn't absolutely dying to become Speaker of the House. But I think it is true, Tony, that like almost every other member of Congress, Paul Ryan came in with very definite conservative ideas. He, you know, two of them that the Politico talked about in his article is he was for tax reform and tax cuts, and he was, I believe, the biggest champion in his early years in the House of reforming Social Security.
Yeah.
And he had a great plan. He co-sponsored with Senator John Sununu of New Hampshire to, quote-unquote, privatize Social Security and make it solvent and actually make people who could spend, you know, three decades of their working life putting money into a private Social Security account rather than into a government one, actually make them be able to retire with some wealth with independence from the government. But over the years, the Republicans have forgotten about that stuff, and he became Speaker. And so far, they haven't done that. But I will say the Politico story says that that is what Paul Ryan wants to look at in the coming years, entitlement reform, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And if he were, as a lame duck Speaker of the House, to come back and really work to do that, that would be a serious accomplishment, because that is definitely one of the greatest challenges facing our country and the biggest thing driving us towards a potential national bankruptcy.
You know, I've known Paul for, ever since I've been here, so a fairly long time, I don't know, 12, 13 years. And he's always struck me as more of a policy guy. He likes the policies, a disciple of kind of Jack Kemp, Bill Bennett, and so he really gets the stuff, and he gets into the numbers. The financial stuff he really likes. He gets into the budget stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised by that. But to your point, I think, working with the Republican leadership, and it's got to be one of the most difficult jobs anybody could do. And it's really kind of a thankless job, because either way you go, you're going to get smacked. What do you think the political implications would be if he does step down after this Congress? What might we see in terms of a leadership battle?
Well, I think you'll see a huge leadership battle, because, of course, what we're going to have in the interim is a midterm election. And there's a lot of questions about how the Republicans are going to do in that midterm election. I think it would be difficult for the Democrats to seize control of the House, but they may pick up a lot of seats, and I think you're going to see some pretty heated primaries inside the Republican Party, where you have conservative insurgents running against Republican candidates who have not helped President Trump get his agenda through. So I think you could have a pretty bitter leadership battle in the wake of Paul Ryan leaving. But I do believe, you know, if Paul Ryan is actually going to leave and he dedicates himself to entitlement reform, there's another idea there, Tony. Tom McClintock, who's a Republican conservative congressman from Northern California, of all places, mm-hmm. my home area, he's argued that the Republican Senate needs to get rid of the filibuster so that the Republican Congress can really pass some fundamental reforms that really have long-term impact. And if Paul Ryan were going to go, I would advocate to him, he should get behind that movement, convince Mitch McConnell to get rid of the filibuster, and then really reform Social Security. Come back and make this tax bill even better, and really cut spending and get rid of programs that the Democrats would filibuster if the Republicans tried to put through a spending bill that actually eliminated federal funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, for example. You know, and if Paul Ryan could walk out of the House as the Speaker that fixed Social Security, he would be a fiscal hero for you know, the rest of American history. And I agree with you. I think that is what he really was focused on his entire life in Washington. And that would be a crowning glory for this man if he would actually do it. So I say, get McConnell to get rid of the filibuster and then do it, Paul Ryan.
You know what? And being a lame duck, you know, sometimes that's considered a liability, but in that case, it could very well be an asset. Terry Jeffrey, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Have a very Merry Christmas if we don't talk to you before Christmas.
You too, Tony.
All right, Terry Jeffrey, CNSNews.com. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, when we come back, speaking of Christmas, we did this, I think, last week, and, of course, it's been a busy week with a lot of news items. But we're going to talk about Christmas traditions. So get ready to call me your favorite Christmas traditions. That's next. Don't go away.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? And are you looking for an internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain an invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that is frc.org/internships.
Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC and our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look
a lot. Welcome back and Merry Christmas. It is beginning to look like a lot like Christmas, depending on where you are in the country. There's got a lot of snow this week up in the Northeast, and it's cold here in D.C. All right, 866-372-7234. Going to break from the political hard news and step back for a minute, help people get in the Christmas mode. Family Christmas traditions. I was talking with a member of Congress today about that. In fact, also I had dinner a couple nights ago with a couple members of Congress and talking about those things. And, I think it's those traditions are, they're so important. I mean, for families to have those things that you do, and kids look forward to them. And in fact, adults look forward to them. I do. So 866-372-7234. That is the number to call, 866-372-7234, to share your family Christmas tradition. And let's go to Ohio, where Sarah is on the line. Sarah, welcome to Washington Watch. Sarah, go ahead.
Hi. I have two quick ones. One is, when I was little, all of us excuse to reenact the Christmas story as grandkids. So that was always a really fun memory. And the second one is my parents have this, about a 9-inch nail that's supposed to represent the nails that were used to nail Jesus to the cross. And it has a little story that goes with it. And every year we take some time and we read the story of Jesus coming to earth, but it's also the story of him dying on the cross and the real reason that he came. And it always like brings me to tears because it's just so special.
I love that where when the Christmas story and the story of Jesus, the purpose of his birth, and that is shared. And I think those types of traditions are not just, you know, nice to have, but they're very meaningful, especially the more kids you have and grandkids and so on and so forth. Sarah, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you sharing that with us. I mentioned this last week. Somebody called in and said that they read the Christmas story, and that's what my father does. That Christmas Eve, my brother and sisters, we all get together at my parents' house, and the all the grandkids, and my father will read the Christmas story, and it's always a neat time. The kids all sitting on the floor. Of course, they're getting older now, but when they were little, they were very attentive, knowing that after that came the presents. Let's go to Dallas, where Carol is on the line. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi there. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. What family Christmas traditions do you have?
We, my kids are grown, but we always made homemade Christmas ornaments. And when people would come over, they would take one of our ornaments and take it home and put it on their tree. And then every Christmas Eve, I would bake a birthday cake, and we would celebrate Jesus' birthday. And that also included reading the Christmas story, and my kids grew up doing that. My son and daughter-in-law still, they do that now, and I mean, he is in the Middle East right now, so it's going to be her and the girls that will be doing it.
Mm. It's kind of neat how that passes on from generation to generation. You start something, and then your kids pick it up, and they pass it on, and hopefully they pass it on to their kids as well. Carol, thanks so much for calling, and Merry Christmas. One of the things that we do in our home is when we put up the Christmas tree, and usually that's right after Thanksgiving. Often, sometimes that Friday right after Thanksgiving, we put up the Christmas tree. And we have a star. It's the last thing that goes on the tree. The kids decorate the tree and put everything on it. And then the last thing that goes on the tree is the star. Now, it used to be that I would pick up the smallest child and they would put the star on top of the tree. Well, my kids are growing up, and it's almost that they could pick me up and I could put the star on. But now I get a step stool or ladder, and I put the star on top of the tree. Now, it's not just any star. Now, this star is probably the least attractive ornament on the tree because it's a star that's about 80 years old. It's very simple, a metal star with five non-government-approved light bulbs that was my grandmother's. It was when my father was a child. That was a star that they bought back during World War II. It's big, right before, actually, I think it was right before that, during the Depression. And they put that on their tree. And again, it's very, very simplistic and not attractive at all, really, from the standpoint of today's ornaments. But he put it on his tree when he was a kid at home, and then we took it to our home. And when I was a kid, we put it on the tree, my dad lifting me up, and I would put it on top of the tree and so on down the line of kids. And so now we do that in our home. And the significance of it is this, is that the star goes on top of the tree, and the star represents the light that broke into the darkness of man and announced the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that's kind of a neat tradition. We go through it. The kids know that's the last thing on, and it's Dad that's in charge of putting the light on. They can do everything else, but the star, well, that's Dad that does that. 866-372-7234, the number to call to share your family traditions. Let's go to Marty in Iowa. Marty, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Yeah, our tradition, it comes from Norway, from my great-grandparents, and it was lefse and oysters. And we have after our Christmas Eve service, we come home and just enjoy the oyster stew. And then lefse, it's a potato patty, I guess you would call it, with
Wait a minute.
Destroy our
hold on, Marty. Marty, hold on. You broke up a little bit. I got to get the ingredients there. What? The potato patty? What's in it?
It's like a potato patty. It's very, very thin. It's rolled out, and then it's fried. And then you put butter and sugar on it and roll it up. Almost, it looks like a cigar when you're done, and then you eat it and destroy your cholesterol.
And what's it? And it's called what?
It's called lefse.
Lefse.
It's a Norwegian dish that they ate. Well, they still do. It's a very popular from the Norwegian, the Scandinavian area.
So what do you say? I want more of that lefse? Is that what you say?
Yeah, lefse. Lefse. Just like that.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's,
you'll have to pick some up, Tony. I know you're down south a little farther, but I know you can find it in a grocery store and give it a try. You'll love it.
I'll have to find the nearest Norwegian grocery store and check. But actually, Marty, I'll have to try that because I think it was for Christmas a couple of years ago. My kids got me the DNA testing kit, and come to find out, I am from that region of the world. I can't believe I haven't had these. Yeah, I've got to now. I mean, you know, with my roots.
Yeah, your genetics will just be thrilled when you try one.
Now, I've had plenty of exposure to the oysters though down in Louisiana, and I'm not a big fan of oysters, but I'll try the lefse. I'll see how that works. Marty, thanks so much for calling. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you as well. Learn something new every day. Well, we used to do, my family from the hills of Kentucky, actually, what we would do, not necessarily on Christmas, but when we'd get together, we'd take those potatoes, but we would make donuts out of potato flour, which was always good. We'd have these donut parties, but I'm digressing. Let's go to Texas where Brian is on the line. Brian, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, sir. Well, we have a lot of Christmas traditions, but one of the things that my family, I guess we're just a little, you know, goofy, but we give prank gifts. And back in, I want to say 1988 or 89, somewhere around there, I was pretty young. I was 12, 13. I gave a chia pet to my brother-in-law, Johnny. Well, the next year he gave it back to me. And the next year I gave it to my sister, Karen. And the next year she gave it to my twin brother, Brett. Next year, gave it to Brent, and it has continued to be passed back and forth every year for decades. And
we had a fruitcake like that.
we've been given that to Chia Pet, and my brother's even moved off to Vermont. And when they come for Christmas every few years, he's gotten it, and my nephews now have gotten it. And I can't remember who's got it this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if I end up with it on Christmas. And
the Chia Pet is still alive and well.
Oh yeah. And it's been passed back and forth, and it's just, you know, it's just something fun. And every time we open it, it's, you know, the way that we do it sometimes is like one time when my brother was giving it to my sister, he had both of them open. Both my sister and my brother-in-law opened the gift. Open a gift that looked the same at the same time, and my brother-in-law opened it, and my sister opened it. My sister had the Chia Pet. My brother-in-law had a note that said, "Aren't you glad you didn't get the Chia Pet this year? Because you have to hold on to it and then give it off the next year." So it's just something fun we do. So.
Well, I wish you the best with the Chia Pet this year, Brian.
But
thanks so much for calling.
appreciate
Merry
it.
Merry Christmas.
God, a Merry Christmas. Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you, Brian. You know, those things are, they're fun. You remember them. Okay, let's work in another call here or two, 866-372-7234. Another Brian, this one in Louisiana. Brian, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, how's everything over there? Is it all snowy?
No, it's just cold, but not snowy.
Yeah, it was snowy down here last Friday, so that was lots of fun. But, yeah, we like my wife and I like taking our kids to New Orleans. We live in the middle of the state. We go down there every weekend, sometime some weekend during December. And we always get a certain picture in one of the parts that's all decorated up. So as the years go by.
Is that City Park?
Yeah, yeah, at the Celebration of the Oaks. So we go down there, and as the years pass, it'd be kind of neat to see when they're real little, and then once they get to teenagers, what it looks like. I don't know, it's real pretty down there, and all the hotels, all the Christmas lights. So,
Actually, one of the hotels that I think is really pretty at Christmas time, if I recall correctly, the Fairmont Hotel down there in New Orleans puts on a pretty good display inside with the lights, and it's. I've been down there a few times during the Christmas season for various events, but City Park is beautiful. I think that was. Who was it that the originally put those lights out there? I'm trying to remember who that was, but it's been a number of years. Yeah, I think that was Al Copeland and his light display out there. One year they did it at the state capitol, and there were complaints because there were too many lights. But it's a beautiful display. Well, Brian, Merry Christmas. Enjoy New Orleans.
All right.
And maybe there's no lefse down there, but there's certainly beignets. So enjoy the beignets.
Yeah, I think there might be one or two. We're gonna get in the practice for getting fat and gaining 10 pounds before we go and eat a big feast at actual Christmas Day with our family. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, Merry Christmas, Brian.
You too.
Yeah. So I was we had the my brain trust here doing some research on the lefse. It's spelled L-E-F-S-E. It's a traditional soft Norwegian flatbread. It's made with potatoes, flour, butter, and milk or cream. In the modern lefse, instant potatoes can also be used in order to produce a smoother batter. It's cooked on a large flat griddle. So guess what I'm going to be trying? See how that tastes. It sounds pretty good. All right, we're going to work in really quickly. Another call here. Let's go to Dave in Oklahoma. Dave, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Listen to your show a lot. What we do for Christmas is when my kids are really young, we don't do a tree. It's something that happened with my grandparents when they were in missionaries in Ethiopia. But what we ended up doing instead to kind of add to the whole I don't want to call it hype, but to the excitement of the day is at night, just before Christmas Day, I will go out and I will hide all of the presents in different locations, and then I will get sticky notes, and I will put clues. And so it's basically like a huge scavenger hunt. So the kids don't just rush into the room and open up all their presents. We actually, for the younger kids, we draw pictures of the next place that they have to go, but the older kids, they actually get like a little Dr. Seuss-like poem that kind of leads them to the next place. And so sometimes they may get a present at the next stop, but sometimes they won't, you know what I mean? So it adds to the excitement, and they really love it.
That sounds like a blast. Dave, thanks so much for calling in, and Merry Christmas. All right, folks, out of time. Thanks so much for calling and sharing your family Christian Christmas traditions. And we'll try to do that a little bit next week as well. All right, until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.